thankful for the prayer and ask each of you just to continue to pray. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, tonight I'd like to look, if the Lord would bless us, at a portion of Scripture found in the writings of the Apostle Paul, the New Testament book of Galatians. I'd like to read to you from Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6. The fifth chapter has laid out for us the fruit of the Spirit that God's little children have in their lives as a result of the Spirit of God. And because of the work of the Spirit in their life and the circumcision that Brother Mike mentioned, that's not a circumcision of the flesh but of the heart and the new birth, God has worked the fruit in them, not the fruits but the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, mentioned in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 5. He also has told us that the works of the flesh that are manifest, that are evident in the life of all mankind and in the life of God's people, are these, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And that doesn't include all of the list. It says, and such like. He says, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what we are recognizing from this passage of Scripture is that without the Lord, there is no salvation. Without the Lord and what He has done for us in washing us in His own blood and removing the sin that we have committed in our life, the works of the flesh which are manifest, that are evident in our life, without that cleansing effect of the blood of Christ, there would be no fellowship with God in heaven in immortal glory. Not only is that true, without that washing of His blood in our lives in this world, you and I would not be able to approach unto Him. We wouldn't want to, and we could not approach unto the Lord in prayer. We could not come tonight and worship Him. We wouldn't have a desire to, nor would we have the ability to, if it were not for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. And God has worked in us if we're indeed born of the Spirit. Tonight I have a sweet hope in my heart that, as Brother Mike said, that he was circumcised in heart. I pray God has circumcised my heart. I desire that would be the case. There are times that I feel so assured of it, I don't think anybody could convince me otherwise. And then there are other times that I get so afraid that I'm just one who is deceived himself, that I just long to hear the comfort that I get from the gospel to help me feel better about that, knowing that it's not in what I think or what I've done, but rather in what He's done. And tonight, I wouldn't want to take you from 1 minute from resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for your home and glory and for your ability to serve Him here in this world. There is absolutely no way that we can please the Lord tonight, that we'll ever be with Him in glory, without that finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the power that comes from Him. There's not anything we can do to serve God tonight. And by that and through that, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can walk in a way to please the Lord, and that's really what I want to talk about tonight. And I preface that all because I don't want anyone to take from, and I wasn't going to mention, I thought about mentioning it, and then I said I wasn't going to mention it, and then I've been kind of battling in my mind, but it's there and it continues to be there, so I hope this is all right. I got a little book of illustrations. I've talked about this before at home. It's an old book, and it's pictures of sketches and drawings of different congregations of people. I don't know where I got the book. Some gift someone had given to me, but it has different denominations, and it'll have drawings of that congregation, and it's taking them and putting them in a picture like animals, you know, so that they're pictured like animals. And the reason I mention all that, they got the hard shell Baptists there. And by the way, that's who we are. The hard shell Baptists. Those that were considered the old hard shells. And it has a picture there of a preacher preaching and a little group of turtles that are sitting in a pond. And it's about 6 or 8 or 10 of them. And every one of them has got their heads right up, sitting in the little pond. And their eyes are right on the preacher. And they're sitting there and they're feeding. And the message that's coming from the preacher is salvation by grace. And I thought, boy, that's a good little picture. The only thing is, the next page, as you turn it over, and you can tell this wasn't written by necessarily a friend of the hard shells, there was another picture of the same preacher, same bank, and every little turtle, instead of having his head up and looking at the preacher, has his head down in the water and his tail up, and all you see is the back of the hard shells, the back of the little turtles, and it's as if they've turned their back and gone another way, and the voice of the preacher is calling on Christian duty and responsibility. And I hope that's not the way it is. That might be the way it has been sometimes, but I don't believe that's been the way it is. I know it wasn't the way it was in the early church. I don't believe it was the way it was. It wasn't that way when I came among the brethren. The message of salvation by grace doesn't just include what the Lord has done in getting us to glory and what the Lord has done for us in saving us. Oh, it includes that. That is the message. Listen, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the only way we'll ever reach heaven. When the Lord told us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's not getting yourself good enough to present yourself before God. It's recognizing the only righteousness I'll ever have. If I trust in my own righteousness, Isaiah said it's what? It's just filthy rags. All of my righteousness, plural, is but filthy rags. And if I'm looking to the Lord if I'm looking to my own goodness and righteousness tonight to be accepted with the Lord, then I am going to miss the mark, whether I'm talking about heaven or whether I'm talking about here. By the way, God's little children are purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in Christ. There's nothing that can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And He works in them that Spirit that gives them the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why tonight, if you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and you're not all completely just the works of the flesh, you know, we all want more love, don't we? We all want more joy. We all want more faith. We all want more meekness. We all want more of those fruit of the Spirit. But if you have any of them, that's an evidence you belong to Him. It's an evidence you're His. That's evidence that He's changed you from what you were and made you to be that which is here on this earth for the purpose of giving Him glory and honor and praise. And we have some duty as God's little children that we're to walk in to please the Lord. Now, don't want every little head to turn around and go under the water. I want you listening. As our duty is tonight to walk in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And that is a duty we have, number one, to God and also to the Lord's people. Because to love the Lord is to love His people. And if you want to love the Lord, you have to love His people. He's called on us to do that. He's commanded us to do that. That is the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you love one another. That you love one another. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another. As Jesus has loved us, we're commanded to love one another. And boy, that says a lot. That says a lot. That's an unconditional love that is not based on anything I get out of it in the sense of your response to me, but a love that is based simply upon our relationship as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to the Lord. I'm duty bound to love you. I belong to the Lord if indeed I'm His, and you're duty bound to love me. And as we are members of one body or one church, or we have fellowship with one another in this church, we are duty bound to love one another, and therefore our duty and our responsibility is to help one another as we live here in this world. Help us to help each other, Lord. And the little sister called that song tonight. And I just kind of smile from ear to ear, because right above that song, right in the verses, is the text I'm about to read in your hearing. Some people would say, that's happenstance. I don't believe that. There's too many numbers in the book and too many places to go in the Bible for that to be happenstance. I believe the Lord works in that, don't you? And I pray that He will help us tonight as we look at this passage. And I don't know all about it other than I know I need it. And I don't know whether it's for anybody else but for me. But if it's that'll be the case, that'll still be good, because it's meant a lot to me today. He says here, brethren, which is a big word, and it's all caps here, and that's not necessarily a part of the it's here and it's in God's word. It's emphasized, the word, you see that many places, but brethren is a very important word, very important. We have a relationship and a kinship in the Lord. This is not talking about those who are not spiritually tied together, who are born of the Spirit, not just brethren, naturally speaking, but brethren. It's wonderful to have a natural family and the beautiful ties that can be there, but oh, how much better it is to have a spiritual family. And we sang that hymn tonight also about a family that's praying, a family that's looking to the Lord, a family that's leaning upon the Lord. That's not just held together with natural things, which quickly falls apart, doesn't it? But it's held together with those spiritual ties. Blessed be the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. And thanks be to God for what He's done for us, those fruit of the Spirit that He's given us. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Again, it's addressed to the brethren. And it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. And I believe this is one of the brethren that can be overtaken in a fault. You know, some people have the idea that if you're one of the brethren, you won't have any more faults, that your faults are gone, that you no longer sin. There's even some people who are bold enough to say, I used to sin, but now that I know the Lord and I belong to Him, I've stopped sinning, and I no longer have any sin. There is a sense in which God's children are perfect, but that sense is not in how they act and how they behave. It's in the cleansing effect of the Lord Jesus Christ and the washing that we have that comes as a result of Jesus and His grace and His work in our lives. But I'm telling you, as long as we live in this world, according to Galatians 5, we're going to have a battle, aren't we? We're going to have a warfare that's going on. And it's our duty to walk as God's children as much as we can by the grace of God, walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice verse 17 and verse 16 and verse 17 of Galatians 5. He says this to us, and this is duty. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what if we do not walk in the Spirit? Then we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, he says this, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That means in you and in me, as long as we're here in this world, as long as we're breathing air, as long as we're alive, as long as we are still here on planet Earth, we'll have an old vile body to contend with. Now one day, we know this, in the resurrection, the Lord's going to do what? He's going to change our what? Our vile body, and make it like unto His glorious body, and then we'll be body, soul, and spirit with the Lord. But until that time, even though we have an old dead man that we're carrying around for year dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, it's like a snake where you cut his head off, but his body's still wiggling. We have been given by the grace of God the ability to walk in a way that's pleasing unto God in a way we didn't have before the new birth. But we still have to contend with this old sinful man. I got to still put up with old Gary. And you can put your name there. You have to put up with whoever it is that you are. You have that old flesh to contend with. I have that old self to contend with. I have that old man, that old woman. And according to the scripture, it's my duty. Keep the heads up. He said, it's my duty to put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is created, a new creature, in the image of him that made him. And that means we have a new life to live in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means I don't have to do all the things that the old nature would tell me to do. I am to keep my body under subjection. And one of the things he says here to the brethren is that if a man be overtaken in a fault, because he said it, that tells us clearly that God's little children can get overtaken in a fault. Now, does that mean we have to get overtaken in a fault? We will at some point have problems. It's never going to be strong all the time. But listen, he has given us the power to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's not God's fault that we fall. It's ours. It's our fault. And we sin and come short of the glory of God. Even the Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And yet he looked to the Lord and he said unto the Lord, deliver me from this body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord that he had the deliverance from this body of death, and that only came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, you and I need to do what? Walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But as sure as we get in the flesh, the old flesh is going to have the fruit of the flesh or the works of the flesh that are manifest, and they're coming forth in our life. Now, the fact that we're going to have them, that mean we just kind of give up and don't try to resist that? No. The Bible talks about sin in a way that God's little children are to, as much as we can in our lives, walk as much as we can, even though we know that we'll never get completely free of it. We should try the very best we can to live the very best we can free of following in that any evil way. Now, brethren, again, I don't want to take you back under the law, but I certainly want us to be faithful to the Word of God about how it is we ought to be doing our very best to do what's right. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, finally, in 1 Peter 3 and 8, he says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Boy, that's good, isn't it? God's little children, we all need to be of one mind. How can that be? I got my thoughts, you got your thoughts. Y'all ever have problems at home, maybe where one person in the family has their thoughts about something and another person in the family has their thoughts about something and those thoughts are not in agreement? You ever have that kind of trouble? We're not all of one mind. That doesn't make a happy home when you're not all of one mind. It can get very conflicting. That never happens in my family, but maybe some of y'all have, you know, it happens in my family. We have those problems. Listen, it happens in the church. It happens as brethren come in here. When we walk in the flesh, it's a guarantee. If we walk in the flesh, I'm going to have my way of thinking, and you're going to have your way of thinking, and guess what? They're not going to be agreed. If I want my way and you want your way, then we're going to both have a mess. That's what we're going to have. Now, how does God's little children get to be of one mind? That's when we submit ourselves to the teachings of God's Word and say, I don't want it my way, I want it His way. I want it the Lord's way. And we look together to the Lord, and what the Lord will do, as we look to Him, He will give me the thoughts that I am to have, and He'll give my loved ones the thoughts that they're to have, and guess what? God doesn't give one way and another way. He puts us in track. Now, that's how you have peace in a home. Otherwise, you're going to have a fight. That's how you have peace in the church. Otherwise, you're going to have a mess. And that's how you have peace in your personal life, when you recognize it's not what I want. You know, a whole lot of times God's doing things that I feel like ought to be done And I don't say this boastfully or boldly. I understand that I'm just confessing tonight. There are times that I feel like this ought to happen and that ought to happen. A lot of times I think this ought to be going on and that ought to be going on. And what I thought ought to happen was the farthest thing from what should happen. And what God was doing is all, what God does is always right. Isn't that good? And you can settle yourself on that tonight. And I can settle myself on that. And one thing we're to do is help one another with it. Now, what does that mean when we're going to fail? He says this, about walking in a way to please the Lord. He says, and I hope I can get to it, but there's a lot of verses, got a lot of good stuff on the way down, but I want to read them. But he says, finally be ye all of one mind, have compassion one of another. Love is brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That means when someone's fussing at you, you're not supposed to fuss back. When someone is railing at you, you're not supposed to rail back. It's so easy to rail back, though, and the old nature rises up in you. Somebody, don't get that on me. I want to respond. But oh, brethren, listen, as we pray for one another and look to over one another for love and remember how much the Lord has forgiven us of and think of one another in that same way and have that love for one another, there's a peace and a rest that comes in that, and the Lord will supply you a peace and a rest that this world and you, really, and I can't really understand. It's a peace passing understanding. He says this in verse 10, and this is what I wanted to get to. For he that will love life. You want to love life? That's good language, isn't it? He says, for he that will love life and see good days. Oh, that's good living. That's life abundant. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. That means watch what your mouth is saying. Oh, doesn't the mouth, isn't it something? How quickly that mouth can just get you in trouble. Just a little bit of gossip here, a little bit of gossip there, a little bit of, you know, we said, well, it's the truth. It's really not gossip. Listen, it's there. We've got to watch what comes out of our lips. It's already in the mind, but that's bad enough. But then when it comes out of the lips, it can do great damage, you know. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not the truth. Words have a great effect. And words can hurt just as bad, in some cases worse, than sticks and stones. And it's important for God's little children. This is duty. Let us keep our heads up. This is duty. It's important for us as God's little children to remember that we're talking to the brethren, that I'm talking to my brother, I'm talking to my sister, I'm talking to one I'm going to live with in glory one day because of the grace of God. I'm talking to one who's loved enough that Jesus came and died for them on the tree of the cross and paid their sin debt and removed their sins from them as far as the east and the west. And it'd be better for me that a millstone be tied about my neck and cast over the sea and drowned than to offend one of God's little ones. That tells a minister he ought to be careful how he uses this place as he stands before God's people. Oh, it's important to stand for the truth and stand boldly for the truth, but always humbly, always meekly, and always in a way to help God's little children. Because there are some of us, as we all are at times, overtaken with a fault. Now, I want to make sure we understand it's not okay just to go ahead and say, okay, everybody messes up, so we all ought to just, don't try. Kind of like a person who can't hit the bullseye and says, well, I'm going to just aim this direction because I can't hit the target. No, God's little children, we ought to be aiming to do the very best we can to live as good as we can and talk the best we can and act the best we can, and not for our glory or for our praise, but because the Lord has shown us and given us the ability, and we should walk in that ability for the glory and honor and praise of the Lord. Now, what about when you mess up? Oh, it brings heartache, doesn't it? Does it weigh on you when you've done something or said something or acted or thought something or carried out something? Sin has major consequences in our lives. And it burdens God's little children. That's one of the reasons the Lord's given us the church, to help us, to help one another, for us to be a help to others who have at times been overtaken in a fault. Now, who is that? It's every one of us. And he says, those who are spiritual restore such a one. Who's the spiritual ones? Well, sometimes you're the one overtaken, and the other brethren are the spiritual. And sometimes they're the ones that are overtaken, and you may be called upon to be those who are spiritual. What does that mean? That means when you're walking and thinking right, as the Lord told, I believe it was Peter, he said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And so when the Lord has shown us to be a help to God's little children, when the Lord has given you the ability and the strength to be a help, then you and I are duty bound to help one another. First of all, we have to have enough love for one another to, and this is not easy, to lovingly reprove one another. You know, most of the time we don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt them. You know, it's kind of like when your children are messing up and you know they need some good correction, and yet you say, you know, I just can't bring myself to it. Now, we never should act in anger, but I'm telling you, we know that the chastening of the Lord comes to every little child, and it's not because he hates them, it's because he loves them. And he says, if we're going to love our children, we're going to chasten them, we're going to correct them when they're messing up, we're going to let them know that. And as God's little children, we as one another, as God's little children, are duty bound to help one another. Sometimes, rather than helping them, I get on the bandwagon with them. Sometimes when I hear a little gossip, next thing you know, Garrett just joins. He'll join right in. In other words, I'll just join the band, join the chorus. As that goes on, oh, really? Well, let me just, oh, well, we can talk about that. And I'll tell you what happens. My spirit gets cold and dry. And when I try to rest after those kinds of conversations, I toss and I turn. And I go like, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And sometimes it's just as simple as talking to a family member that maybe isn't involved in the church about another family member who has a problem. And the next thing you know, you think, well, does that hurt? Listen, the Lord died on the cross for me. I owe him everything. I owe him not just my church life. I owe him my home life, my work life, my whole life. He is my everything. I am duty bound to live in a way to honor him, not just when I'm at church, but when I'm on the job. And, you know, it's so easy at times for me to think, oh, I'm at work now. I can lay the boss out just because the fella did it. I got a right to do that. He needed it. She needed it. And I'm telling you, when I do that, I'm not pleasing the Lord. Because he's laid out in his word, that's not what I'm supposed to do. Okay. Hope all the little heads are still with me. And no, nobody's gone under. If you have, hang in there, brethren. This is for our help. This is to keep this little church loving one another. This is to keep us where we belong. Helping one another. To be a help to one another. To remember with reality what Jesus really means in our life, what his forgiveness really means, to help you and your family when it gets hard and difficult, to remember how much he endured because of his love for us and how we ought to love one another that way and that much, to be that help in whatever they may be going through, God's little children. And it isn't, again, it's not licentiousness, because this verse tells us it's not that. It's not just living any way you want and it's okay. It's loving them enough to even lovingly reprove. But you do it humbly and in a way to help. And you know, a lot of things you say might be dead on, but is it meant to help or is it meant to hurt? Is it meant to help or is it meant to hurt? And sometimes you really mean to help. I do. And I say something to hurt. Sometimes I feel like I'm the number one person that can mean to say the right thing, and I take this big old size 15 shoe and stick it right in my mouth, and I meant to say it right. Sometimes I don't know when to talk and when to be quiet. I don't know when to start or when to stop. And the fact of the matter is that will always be the case with me, and there's only one way I'm going to get it right, and that is when I walk in the Spirit and follow the leadership of the Lord. And what I found is when we look to the Lord and ask him, he will help you. He will direct you. He will guide you. He will give your heart the right feelings and your mouth the right words. I've had him open the doors for me when I didn't know what to say or what to do. And when I look to him, all is well. And when I don't look to him, I'm a mess. And that's true of all of us. Okay. He said this. He that will love life and see good days. I sure want to do that, don't you? I want to love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That means watch slick trickery. Watch the old tongue. Watch, you know, when we say one thing, mean another. When we're saying something, but, they're just words. Watch that. He says, let him eschew evil. That word eschew means don't get close to it. It means to shun it. Sometimes we think, well, I can just be neither take it or leave. He didn't say to be neutral about evil. He said, shun it. You know, sometimes we think, well, I can dabble with it. I can handle it. And that's when we get, the old devil would love for you to think you can handle it. Just any thought, anything that I can have a little of it and, you know, that I can deal with that. I can handle it. Listen, he said, to eschew evil and do good. In other words, shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That is to follow after, to pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, it's clear that the Bible teaches us to do good and not evil, and to walk in the way of good. In the book of Proverbs, I love the language of the book of Proverbs, because in chapter 4 of that book, it talks about the way of the evil. And it says about 4 or 5 ways, just don't walk, don't get close to it, don't go by it. Don't, you know, just it just says it over and over. And let's just read it while I'm thinking about it. If I can turn to that. Proverbs chapter 4, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Sounds like he's making a point. And how many ways can you say it? Now, don't play with it. Don't dabble with it. Some people think, well, I know that's not quite right, but I can dabble with it. Listen, that's what the devil loves for us to think. And God's little children are God's children, heaven-born, by the grace of God, going to heaven, but their lives can get in a great deal of trouble and a mess, like David found out and like we read of the Old Testament characters and New Testament saints. When they dabble in those things, that the Bible says we're to avoid them. We're to shun them. All right. Now, he says, if a man, go back to Galatians 6. And he says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That means what happens when someone does make an error? Do we say, oh, that, I don't know how they... You know, and I've been guilty of this. I don't know how they could have done that. I don't know how they could have thought that way. I don't know how they could act that way. As if that couldn't have possibly touched me, but it's gotten them, and evidently I didn't think like, and even though we don't say it, sometimes that comes, that the old flesh gets in there, and next thing you know, you're thinking, you'll see one of God's little children get caught up something, and you go like, how could they have got in that? How could they have been involved in that? Didn't they know better? How could they have gotten involved in it? Listen, it's so easy for us when we don't follow the teachings of God's Word and the leadership of the Spirit for us to get in a mess quick. And these are God's little children that are overtaken in a fault. And I'm telling you, their heart's broken over it. A little child of God who's walking in those things doesn't walk in them and just live in them. He can't lay down in them and wallow in them without any repercussions. He can't go out and wallow in the mud holes of this world and be happy in it. He can go out there, but I'm telling you, he's going to be heartsick and heartbroken. And his heart, he'll be like that prodigal son away from home. He'll be so hungry. He'll be so empty. He'll be in a mess quick. And what do we do when one does that? He says this, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That means when you see that little brother come back, that little sister come back, you see him heartbroken, you tell him about the forgiveness that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. You encourage them to confess their sins as the Scripture does, and He is faithful to forgive us, and He's already forgiven us in the blood of Jesus. Positionally, they've never changed. They've always been His children, forgiven by the grace of God, but they need to have that manifested to them once again in their heart, that even though I messed up, Jesus still loved me, and He died for me. Not that I can just continue in that, but that I've asked forgiveness, and it's been removed. How good is that message to you tonight, that though you've sinned and come short, and you may be thinking about some things right now that's messed up in your life, and you think, I'll never be able to fix that. I'll never be able to undo that. I can not go back and change that. If I could, I would, but I can't. And you may, at times, the old devil will come as that accuser of the brethren, and he'll say, well, see, you've got that on you, and there's nothing that's going to change that. I want you to know, when Jesus died on the cross, that sin was laid upon him, and that payment was made and removed from you, not only our past sins, but our present sins and our future sins, and he paid them, and they paid them in full. And when that little brother who's overtaken in a fault, or that little sister comes, you tell them that good message of Jesus Christ. Same message. And it'll give them peace. And it'll give them rest. And it'll also give them encouragement to go and sin no more. To walk, not continuing in that, but to come and follow him as he is taught. And though you can't undo everything, you don't have to. If you had to undo it all, oh my dear ones, there'd be no hope for you or for me or for anyone else. And we're to do it how? Not in a haughty, high-minded way, but in a spirit of meekness. Now, do you know the world doesn't have meekness to operate with? Because that's a fruit of the Spirit. If you have meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, those are fruit of the Spirit that God's given you. And that's how you deal with one another. You remember, you say, what are you talking about? You remember how Jesus dealt with you? How you feel he's forgiven you. And you remember to do that with your loved ones. You do that with your brethren. They're your brethren. You're my sisters and my brothers. And you operate in that. And you'll find a peace and a rest that comes, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not going to be as good as heaven, but it's a little heaven here below for God's little children. And he says, heaven's going to be where we do it in perfection. We're not going to get this in perfection down here. Heaven is where we'll have it in perfection. We'll have this clearly. We see through a glass darkly. One day we'll see face to face, and what a day that'll be. But here in this world, I need a little heaven here below, don't you? I need some fellowship. I need fellowship with God, and I need fellowship with the Lord's people. He says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The idea of thought that can't affect me should never be in part of it, because we ought to realize if it could affect my brother, it could affect me. What they did, I could have done. Where they fell, I could have fallen. Where they slipped up, I could have slipped up. That way, when I'm dealing with them and sharing with them, I won't do it in a way where I don't know how. You know, I've done that with my kids. I don't know how you did that. Well, I have to do is look at myself and see when I did that. And when you do that, and listen, it's not just about comparing ourselves with one another. It's pretty easy for us in this old world to find somebody else in this world that we think is worse than we are and try to compare ourselves to them. I'm not such a bad person. Just think about so-and-so. Just think how they act. I remember as a boy, I used to think of some of the mean boys I went to school with. And when mom and daddy get on me, I think like, well, you ought to have somebody like him as your son. You would be glad to have me back because I know how bad he acts and I'm not near like he is. Well, see, that's how we do biblically sometimes in our life. We kind of compare ourselves to what, you know, to everybody else in the world. And we think, well, I'm not near, I got some problems, but I'm not like that one or this one. The Bible tells us not to do that, but rather compare ourselves to what's written in God's Word. And I'll tell you, when you do that, you'll realize the only hope for me is the blood of Jesus. The only hope for me is the forgiveness that's in Christ. The only way I'll have strength is to look to Him. The only way I'll be better is to stop trusting in me and lean completely upon Him. And when I do that, I'll find a peace and a rest that's there, and a life abundant that's right here, looking to the Lord. Your heads are still up. I'm glad to see that. I haven't seen anybody turn over and go the other way. Because duty can be tough. It's the meat of the Word. Grace is the milk. Some people say election and predestination is hard doctrine. I want you to know election and predestination is the milk. That's what God's little children need. You need to know about election and predestination and God's grace in order to understand your salvations of the Lord. And then when that's wonderful to preach the love of the Lord and for His people. And that love gives you all the strength that you need to put into place the meat of the word, which is duty and practice, how you ought to live in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And if you don't understand grace, you'll never get duty straight, because you'll think duty earns you something. Duty doesn't earn us anything. When we've done our duty, we've done what? We're just what are we supposed to say? What did Jesus teach us? He said that I'm just an unprofitable servant. I've simply done that which is my duty to do. I don't know where I lost my handkerchief, but I sure wish I had it. I found it. I'm sorry. Okay. Time's gone. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what help us to help each other, Lord, that hymn had this verse written right on. Bear ye one another's burdens. That means you and I are responsible to help one another, to bear one another's burdens. And as we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. If you read in John 13 and verse 34, you'll read about the new commandment given to us, how we're to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And that commandment it's a commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I love verse 3, and probably won't go much farther than just it, although I'd love to finish this, but y'all been mighty, are all of you still are looking at me? And so I don't want to wear that out. For if a man think himself to be something, you know, that's something for a man to think. If he think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now there are some, I'm sure, that read this as thinking, well, I am something. So there's nothing wrong for me to think I'm something, because I am something. You know, sometimes we even in our joking and thinking, well, it's the truth, so it's okay for me to think that of myself. It's the truth. I want you to know, if a man thinks himself to be something, as part of this verse, this is the other part of this verse, he is nothing. Hear that? That's part of our doctrine. It's part of the Bible's doctrine. What is man without Jesus? I'm telling you, he is nothing. This verse didn't say, if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, like he could be something. A man without Jesus is nothing. He will never be anything but nothing. He could become as wise as this world would ever allow him to be. He still will be nothing. He can have all the world's gold and material goods. He will still be nothing. And without Jesus Christ, he will never be anything but nothing and less than nothing. And that's all he'll ever be without Jesus. And so if a man thinks him to be something, and he thinks he's deserving or meriting heaven, or has done something worthy of God's praise, or God patting him on the back, he's thinking something, that he's just simply deceiving himself. And that's not just saying other people. You still with me? That's saying us. That I need to remember what I am without Jesus. I'm nothing. That'll help me operate in meekness, won't it? It'll help me when that little brother messes up, won't it? It'll help me when I'm talking to my kids, or when I'm talking to my parents, or when I'm talking to my wife, or when I'm talking on the job. If I remember that, oh Gary, you think you're something. That comes to me. It has hit me tonight. I think I'm something. When I think I'm something, when I'm nothing. Now what am I? I'm nothing without the Lord. Now listen, that doesn't mean you're nothing with Him. Because with Him, you are a holy generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. You are the children of God. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. How many places can we read what you are in the Lord? But I'm telling you, outside of the Lord, you are what? You are nothing. And so am I. The scripture says that we all, when God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any that did good or any that understood, He saw that there was none good, no, not one. Not only were they not good, but no part of them were good. In Romans 3 it says everything about us was bad, was wrong, contrary. The Apostle Paul said, even as a newborn, born again child of God, he said this. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So if a man thinks himself, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let the rest of the verse says, you take care of your business and you look at yourself and you think about yourself in the light of what God expects and has called you to be, and you won't have time to be straightening everybody else out. That's just plain. And as a matter of fact, you'll recognize when you start looking at what, if I really examine, let every man prove his own work, that means I am to look at what I do, what is my heart's motivation, what am I doing? And by the end of that, I'll see so much that's not right with me, I won't have time to be picking at what's not right with you. And then I won't be comparing myself with others. I'll learn that I am answerable unto God. That is the one I am to look to. Not unto other men. I am answerable unto God. And then the message comes clearly. Without His grace, there's no hope for me. Listen, there's no hope for heaven. Without His grace. And there is no hope for here without His grace. You want to be what God would have you to be, you're going to have His grace will have to be provided for you to do that. And the good news is this. He's rich in grace, isn't He? He's not poor. What a Lord. What a God. And that is the way we serve Him here below. Give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. And y'all been good little hard shells tonight. Thank the Lord for that. And I do love you, brethren. I love you with all my heart. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I'll have to bring in that illustration. Show you them little turtles. I love you, my brother. God bless you.